And now I want to introduce our special speaker today, William Creighton Payden. Creighton was born in Concord, North Carolina, and received his BA from Davidson College, his MA from the University of Chicago, and PhD from St. Andrews University in Scotland. Payden is the Fuller Calloway Professor Emeritus of Philosophy at Augusta State University. And while at Augusta, he designed and directed the Cullum Third World Culture Program, which was selected in 1979 as one of the 10 most innovative programs by the American Association of State Colleges and Universities. Payden has served on state and national panels for the National Endowment for the Humanities and the Arts, and has received numerous research and travel grants. He retired in August of 2008 after 21 years as president of the Highlands Institute for American Religious and Philosophical Thought. Payden comes to us through the generosity and help of Hugh Normile. And I did not read the complete resume because it is a page and a half long. It's in your bulletin, and you can read it at your leisure. It'd be more valuable for us to take the time and listen to what Payden has to say. Payden?
I tell you, these microphones scare me. Get old and your arthritic fingers won't mash those things too well. I turn this on now.
Just click it. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
No.
No.
Higher in the shirt. Well, this is going to get shorter with me being on a microphone. I can tell you, I'll tell you something that happened to me one time. I try not to think about this, but this made me think about it this morning. I had a was speaking to a youth rally in Roanoke, Virginia, in a very, very large church that would seat 3,000. And this was in the summer, and the next summer when their minister went on vacation, one of the leaders in the church put my name in as a supply, and they invited me to come and to speak. I don't know how to preach, so that's misleading. But as I was about to go in to the sanctuary and to climb up this crow's nest pulpit, which had an organ pipes all behind me and an organist, a little fellow said, "Would you clamp on this microphone?" Well, I didn't think anything about it. And it was in the summer, and they had moved the service from 11 to 10 o'clock. And they had three hymns. Two of them had five verses, and one had six. And I enjoy singing. I have been kicked out of several choirs. So I knew the organ was behind me, and I just really unfolded and made my joyful noise. And at 11 o'clock, I went and shook hands and with people, and then I got in my car and started driving off, and I flipped on the radio. And to my astonishment, they had been taping that service to play at 11 o'clock. And I couldn't even drive when the hymns came on. It was so terrible. So if you begin to get sick on your stomach, let me know just from my talking. How many of you know a good bit about Unitarian history? Very good, very good. Well, that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning, and some of you can correct me as I go along and make it up. I want to talk about free religion, free faith, and how this came about in the Unitarian Church. Back in the early 1880s, as Unitarianism was beginning to take its form in against the Calvinist and in favor of a Unitarian doctrine, along came a fellow named Ralph Waldo Emerson and some other transcendentalists, and they began to talk about having a free religion eventually. And this kind of came to a head when, in 1865, the first national organization of the Unitarian Church was occurring. And they had written a preamble to the Constitution which stated in this that Unitarians are committed to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, this really upset a lot of Unitarian ministers because they felt that it was taking a doctrinal statement and slipping it into the Constitution via the preamble, and that on the basis of the principle that had occurred in the Protestant Reformation, that each person is responsible for their own decisions in reading the Scriptures and coming to terms with themselves in relationship to their deity. These Unitarian ministers were so upset that they demanded it was passed, that they have another meeting in 1866 where these ministers attempted to get this statement taken out of the preamble. And they were unsuccessful. And these three Unitarian ministers were riding back from the Syracuse meeting to Boston on the train. And they said, we've got to create some free religion to which we can belong that does not have doctrine or creedal statements in it. And so they formed what was called the Free Religious Association. How many of you have ever heard of it? A couple of you. This was formed in 1867, and one of the leaders behind it was a rather obnoxious type fellow, a lot of people thought, named F.E. Abbott. And Abbott was the champion of free religion. And the Free Religious Association was committed to free religion, the scientific method, and evolution. And it became a fairly large body. It not only included Unitarian ministers who had resigned from the church over this preamble, but it also included all types of other religious traditions also who wanted to explore free religion. Now, this upset a good many people who stayed within the Unitarian Church as the preamble described. And there was a real tension. But free religion caught on in the Western Conference of the Unitarian Church. And the Western Conference really, you know, was Chicago, Ohio and Chicago, and West, all the way to Washington State. So these ministers were much younger than the ministers back east who had all grown up together in New England and shared much in common, that these young ministers who had gone to the Western frontier were experiencing. And so you had a division going on in the Unitarian Church between those in the Western Conference and those in the East who had the power and the money. And this went on until 1892, when the Unitarian National Association appointed a committee of Unitarian ministers to write a new constitution. And what they did as a creative way of trying to get around this preamble statement and have this as part of the heritage, but not also something that blocked free inquiry and the right to private judgment. They said that they retained the preamble as a historical statement, but then adopted the constitution that we have of free religion, free faith being our Unitarian tradition. And it was in this way that all of these Unitarian ministers, for the most part, were brought back into the fold. And the Unitarian Church became a free church, without creed, without doctrine, open to all people to come in who were willing to make a common commitment together to share in life. And so this is an important part of our tradition that you and I have to cherish, and also we have to fight in order to keep, because there's always a struggle in any organization between those who find the great insights and traditions as opposed to those who are more oriented to seeking out new ways of sharing life and experiencing things with other people and making known their love and friendship. And so this has been part of our heritage and part of what we are about as we begin to share our free religion with each other and to also make this known that our congregations are open, that we do not prejudge people because they don't use words that we are comfortable with because we've heard them so often. We are making known to them that we are willing to explore their ideas and their insights in order that we may grow together and be a stronger individual as well as communal body. And free religion has dominated the Unitarian Church for the 20th century. As we also try and retain some of our traditional cultural heritage. Now, there are problems with this in that some people think that in making ourselves free religion, we really make ourselves into nothing. Whereas our free religion enables us to be free to love and care and share with each other without demanding that those around us use the same words that we do or are familiar with the same hymns that we've been familiar with. And so this has given us an opportunity that I think we need to re-examine to see how we are taking this message to the people around us and how effective we are. Because a standard of judgment is how well you minister to your fellow human beings with which whom you come in contact. And this is something that if we don't return to and become self-critical, I think offers us some real dangerous roads ahead. Unitarianism is not expanding as we should be expanding. It is not opening doors to people of different cultural backgrounds, different racial backgrounds. We are not being inclusive of those who are our fellow citizens. And unless we take a better stance, and by a better stance, I mean we do practical things to make these interchanges with other people occur, then I think Unitarianism runs the danger of becoming a smaller group that only talks to itself, and that we need to take seriously our responsibility of reaching out to those in our communities who are in need and inviting them into our fellowship and into our homes and opening ourselves up to them and sharing with them what we have experienced and invite them to come and join with us in creating a freer religion that does not exclude people because they don't look like us, because they all have gray hair, or because they don't have money, whatever the reason we have used in the past for excluding people, we need to overcome in order that our message gets out, that our religion is a free religion. It is free to all people who will come and commit themselves to a life of caring and sharing and loving each other. And so I come just to share this bit of history with you in case you were not familiar with this tradition and the way it emerged, and also to invite you to examine yourself and to examine the way this congregation functions to see if you're fulfilling your responsibility of meeting the people in this community who are different from you, but who are in need of people who care, and that this is what we are called in our freedom to share. You can understand now that I'm not a preacher. I speak as a historian and share that bit with you and call you and invite you to come and join with many of us who have, in years past and in recent years, have dedicated and rededicated ourselves to opening ourselves up to other people in order that we may grow with them into being the most unique and wonderful human beings that each of us has within ourselves. That means it's over. Thank you.